The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with MasterCard. Indulge your passion for food with exclusive dining experiences at priceless.com.
Now, earlier this year, the United Nations Education, Scientific and Cultural Organization, known as UNESCO to you and me, expressed concerns that female participation is falling in a field that is expanding globally. The field in question is science, technology, engineering and maths, so-called STEM. Now, Vodafone has launched an initiative called Code Like a Girl, which they hope will encourage girls to take an interest in the sciences. What is this program? How does it work? Well, I'm joined now by our technology correspondent, Jess Kelly. Jess, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Now, why did Vodafone in particular launch Code Like a Girl?
So it's an initiative, there's a host of these initiatives right around the world, but Vodafone Ireland in particular and their CEO Anne O'Leary has been incredibly vocal about the company's ambition to become the best employer for women by 2025. A lot of their management structure, their senior level management structure, the jobs are hosted by women.
70% her senior managers are female.
Are female, yeah. So they're looking to kind of make it a better place for women to work. The goal with this specific programme is to get young girls thinking in the scientific space. James McGill is the director of HR at Vodafone, and he told me a little bit more.
We're working in partnership with Coding First Girls. And what we wanted to do was engage with young girls aged between 14 and 16 and do two things. So first of all, we wanted to teach them practical skills that would be useful in developing future careers in STEM. And for us, that was around coding. So spend 5 days teaching them coding, helping them design and develop and deliver a website. But the second thing we want to do, which is probably just as important, is to light a fire in them in terms of their interest in STEM careers. We know girls are underrepresented in STEM careers, and we want to get to them early, give them some inspiration and help them feel passionate that a STEM career is for them. They came to us for 5 days. They came to our Vodafone Ireland headquarters here in Sandyford. And over the 5 days, they learned 3 different coding languages. And they put that to good use to create their own website. So by the end of the week, they had something tangible, something real that they could show their friends and families and was released into the public domain that they themselves had created. We also, whilst we had them, we taught them about female empowerment, about unconscious bias, and from what the students and the teachers have told us, that was really popular. I think on the bus going back home, there was a lot of views being shared, so again, we'd really excited them around the topic of gender equality and female empowerment. And we also gave them some practical skills around career building. So how do you build a great-looking CV? How do you do a great interview? And what are the sort of careers that coding and STEM subjects can open up to them?
Now, it's an ambitious plan, mm-hmm. Jess, but how did it go down with the girls?
It was quite interesting. So I went out to Cavantilly Community School, and this was the first school to take part in the programme. And as I walked on campus, they were buzzing about it. People were dying to talk about it. Every teacher that walked in was like, oh, they had a great time. The girls had a great time. They came back. And I think what made a difference, because I remember when I was in school, you go through these little programmes when you're in transition year, and some of them were great on paper, but you didn't really get engaged. What happened here was the girls were taken from school and brought, as you heard there, to the Vodafone HQ. They got to see the workplace. They got to talk to people who are living, breathing, really high-powered technical jobs. And I think they became more immersed. I met with one of the girls. Her name is Dominica Dacus, and she is one of the students who took part. She told me exactly what they got up to.
We went in and they showed us like a little bit of coding and like what you do as a coding. So we were shown how to use the HTML, which is a program where you type up what you want as a page, and then you use the CSS, which is a program where you make the website like pretty and you make like interact with it and like customer use. They're very like up to like get the girls to do it and kind of open up the business up to the girls more than the boys, considering the boys always are more dominant in workforces. Lads always say, oh, the girls just stay at home and like have the kids and be like the housewives, but like say no, you should be the ones, you step into our shoes and work. They really did open up to the girls, like saying, oh, try this and try that. And it wasn't like a mixed group, it was more focused on the girls to kind of see if they would be interested in it. So it's nice the way that they show interest in female studies than more than male.
Do you think that we need more tech and more science and more practical skills?
We should be open up to it, saying like it is something that we use every day and something we've become addicted to. So it should be more in, it should be more using skills as an opportunity instead of having using books.
Do you know what subjects you're going to do for your leaving cert then? Have you picked them yet?
Yes, English, maths, Irish, French, biology, chemistry and woodwork.
What is it that drew you to the woodwork side of things?
being hands-on. Like, you're actually using your hands to do something, and it's not just your theory, it's more what you're capable of doing.
Do you think that approach needs to be brought into other subjects as well, the more hands-on, rather than learning about Pythagoras' theorem?
Yes, it should be. It's, you kind of feel more confident if you're using, like, you're using what you know, mm-hmm. rather than just like, having your head stuck in a book.
Very interesting from Dominica. Now, mm-hmm. the girls who took part in this first Code Like a Girl class were in fourth year, in
yes.
transition year. But it looks as though primary school students may learn to code. That's according to the National Council for Curriculum Assessment. So what's the plan?
So there's a proposal, there's a draft curriculum for junior infants to second class. And it looks to add computer coding as part of the new maths curriculum, which I think it's a brilliant initiative, and it sounds great on paper, as we say. So this draft is up for a public consultation until February, and then the proposals will be finalised next autumn. So it could be, you know, September 2019 or even 2020 mm. before this change happens.
I mean, do you know what they have in mind? Are they talking about making it part of the regular primary school curriculum, which has one teacher?
Mm-hmm.
That's the way. It's not like secondary school where
yeah.
you have different teachers who specialise, because if every primary teacher then has to learn how to code in order to teach code,
yes,
that'll take a while.
It will take a lot. It'll take a while, and it'll also be interesting to see that the uptake and the willingness, I suppose, for the teachers to try and learn a completely different, it is a different language, it's a different skill entirely. And you know, a lot of the teachers that I've spoken to already are saying, you know, they just about managed to do all the different things that's already required of them. So now introducing technology, whether it is, you know, the interactive whiteboards, if something goes wrong, a lot of the schools don't have an IT support person on hand. So if something
yeah.
goes wrong with the interactive whiteboard, they spend 20 minutes of lesson time trying to fix the thing. Do you know that way? So it's all of this other side of things that we definitely need to consider as we move into this space. But I think this proposal sounds quite exciting.
Mm. Now, what about the students currently? I mean, how much engagement do they have with technology?
It very much varies from, you know, school to school and even teacher to teacher. Earlier this year on this programme, we spoke to a teacher who fully embraced technology, the flipped learning method and uploading videos to YouTube. The issue here is that it's not standardised across the board. And this sits, I suppose, with a conversation I had with Michelle Lynch, who is the head of science at Cabinteely Community School. She said there's unquestionably more that could be done.
I would definitely say on the side of computers that there's skill sets that in class we've just got basic computer skills and we don't have the facilities to run Coder Jojo. The teachers mightn't be fully au fait with it or having the skills to run the Coder Jojo. So there definitely is a need in schools for those facilities so that students can upskill themselves. It needs to be standardised, the same as everyone will sit the same exact same geography test, history set test. Every student should be leaving school with a standardised computer skills, and at the moment that isn't happening. I think what's happening at the moment, there is changes coming up with a new junior cert cycle, and they hope to bring in new modules. But there is, it's very, very slow, as we can see that the tech world is moving so fast, and I think the students are being left behind. And we actually have the problem now that we don't actually have the students with the skills to go into this tech world. And as they are leaving school, they need to have these skills, and the school's job is to provide the students with these skills. I think it is a gender neutral problem, but girls do shy away from that area because I think there is a lack of female role models in that area, and girls don't feel the confidence that they can actually fulfil that role. People need exposure, just exactly what the girls got there in Vodafone, Code Like a Girl. They just need exposure, more and more exposure to these science things, and then it will open up their eyes to different jobs, different careers that they might have never thought of before.
Now that's Michelle Lynch, the head of the science department at Cabinteely Community School. One of the things that we're hearing about now quite a lot is the shortage of teachers in the STEM subjects.
Yes.
Now, I mean, we know that there are more female teachers than males, number one. Males classically have gone for the STEM subjects, but they're not going into teaching. And in the classroom, if girls are not learning the sciences, then they're not going to become science teachers in time.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a big crisis. Are we going to depend on people like Vodafone and private companies to kind of get involved in our second level schools?
In the short term, it seems to be the case. And, you know, again, harping back to when I was in school, I do remember that unless you were naturally interested in the sciences, and again, the way science is taught in school at the moment is not the most engaging. We heard Dominica there saying, you know, you want to get your hands dirty, you want to physically do things and see how things work. A lot of the science in school tends to be from a textbook. So unless we completely change how it's taught and get people excited about it, then there will be people left behind.
I remember doing doing science, and you know, we were very concentrated on the science and math subjects in my class in school. But the idea that you started off, say, doing a chemical reaction, and you got sodium and chlorine, and it became salt, and all of that. But the sensible thing might have been to show it first.
Yes.
You know, show a reaction, or how copper turns green, for example. Mm-hmm. Show it first and then go backwards from the real world to the molecular level.
Well, this is kind of what's happening now. Again, if we think back to the report that we did about the flipped learning model, what's happening is, instead of getting students just thinking about the theory and reading textbooks, it's all about, how does this impact my day-to-day life? Why do I need to understand that X happens if I do Y? Why, like, in real-world terms, how does that impact me? Yeah.
I remember trying to teach our architectural students in Bolton Street all those years ago about chemistry and the chemistry that would affect their world.
Yes.
For example, that concrete doesn't dry. It's a chemical reaction that's happening in the concrete, or that rust is a chemical reaction, and how that might impact on how they design a building, or where a metal goes, is embedded into concrete, what's likely to happen.
Yeah.
You know, and then work back to the chemistry of it. Mm-hmm. But let's go to the real world first.
But that's what I love about this initiative. And the coding, you may think, oh, well, my kid is into computers or whatever. But as time goes by, more and more of our world is going online. It's important that we have the same level of digital literacy right across the board, because it doesn't matter if you're massively into beauty or if you're massively into sport. The beauty industry has been transformed by technology. The sport industry, think of all the wearables that are there, how the match analysis happens with computers. So regardless of what your interest is, it's very, very important to have a fundamental understanding of coding, computer technology and science to move on into a kind of a more rounded world, I suppose.
Text here, maths at the core of programming, but seriously, coding in primary school when people can barely spell is crazy. We want smart people, not coders. That's from Martin.
No, you see, the thing is, and the way I've been to some coding classes where coding is taught to, you know, 5-year-olds, and it's done almost like Lego. So it's you kind of build these little programs with essentially Lego pieces on a screen, and you can build, you know, with the Raspberry Pi computers, you can add bits to it. So it's almost done like a game. The kids don't know they're learning. They're not going to grow up to be these cyborg children. They're developing skills. It becomes fun to them. It becomes second nature to them. And suddenly, you know, when they grow into the big bad world, they're adults that are equipped with a very, very valuable skill set.
Jess Kelly, thank you very much.